there this morning. We will read verses 22 through verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Notice, not in the water, but on the water. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they, that is, Christ and Peter, were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, that is Christ, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Again, this is Matthew's account of the apostles caught in a storm. And the event stemming from that event is Peter walking on the water toward Christ. Now, there's much here for our encouragement, but we want to develop our thought this evening around verses 30 and 31. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I want to speak this evening on the blessing of being caught of the Lord. You and I can identify with Peter's experience here in our text. We can identify walking on water. We can identify most certainly with sinking. And we can identify the Lord reaching forth his hand and catching us. So our first point this evening is the opportunity that is ours. And the reason we have this wonderful opportunity is because of a wonderful and marvelous and spectacular event that has taken place in our life. A literal happening. Not something that we just heard about, but an event that we personally experienced. The most miraculous event of all. The event of salvation. It is an event of rescue, deliverance, recovery. It's a reclamation of our soul. It is a wonderful and marvelous event. No event more wonderful, no event more marvelous. In this event of salvation, we were estranged from God. We were without God. We were without Christ. And we were living our lives under the dominion of Satan and in the realm of the power of darkness. We were deceived. We were ignorant. We were blind. We were hardened. We were at enmity against God. We were criminals against God. We were striving against God, living in absolute defiance of God. We rejected God. We tried to resist God. We were unrighteous. We were ungodly, unprofitable, bankrupt, lost, and fleeing from God. We were helplessly trapped under the weight of sin and just sinking deeper and deeper. So securely held by the chains and shackles that we could not possibly escape. Our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being, enmeshed in the power of sin. So much so that we could not understand our desperate need. We could not please God in any way. We could not and we would not come to God for what we so desperately needed. We were thoroughly guilty before God and under the just condemnation of God. We had absolutely no merit to plead. We were headed for and deserving of eternal destruction. But in the event of salvation, the Lord came to our prison cell and He broke. We didn't make ourselves free. We didn't free ourselves. He broke the holding and binding power of sin, gave us life and raised us from a spiritual grave. We were brought, fetched, lifted, whatever other word you want to think of, from under the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death. And out of the depths of our unrighteousness and wickedness, and out of the depths of our alienation and darkness and enmity and spiritual bankruptcy and condemnation, we were raised from the depths of the filth and the vileness and the wretchedness of sin. We were delivered. We were set free from the power of sin, from the destruction and the loss of sin. We were delivered and set free from the curse of the law. For us that are saved, that was a real and personal experience in our life. One that we have never gotten over or passed, nor do we want to. We were lifted from the swamp of fallen humanity. No longer live in that swamp. It was not genealogy that saved me. My DNA had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was not religion that saved me. It was not baptism. It was not good works. It was not good intentions. It was not prayer. My own prayer or the prayers of others. And it was not my will, and it was not the will of anyone else other than God that imparted life into my soul and broke the chains and the shackles of sin and rescued us from the power of sin, from the filth and the muck of sin. It was the Lord. It was all God. He did not need any help. And he did so while we were abominable and unacceptable in his sight. He did so while we were an enemy and rebel, wanting absolutely nothing to do with the God of the Bible. We were living, standing, sitting, and walking in the contamination of sin. And God rescued us. And that is a miracle of his doing. And ever since that day, ever since that event, we have had the wonderful opportunity to walk on water, to experience the supernatural. And we have had the experience of walking on water. Not literally, but we've had the experience of the supernatural. We can do what man cannot do. And it all goes back to that day of salvation. Ever since that day of salvation, we, like those in our text, have experienced the storms of life. We've all experienced difficulties, and hardships, and struggles, and adversities, burdens, stresses, sorrows, setbacks, afflictions, battles, obstacles. We've all had these storms. And we have experienced time and time and time again the Lord coming to us in our storms, with his voice piercing through the commotion, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." We have experienced that. We that are saved have experienced that. Time and time again. He has affirmed to us that he cares, that he is sufficient, that he is able, and that he is everything that he claims to be. Ever since that event of salvation, we have experienced over and over the calm that only Jesus can bring. We have the experience of hearing him say, "Come. Come." And with the peace that passeth understanding filling our hearts and minds, we, like Peter, have experienced being fully focused upon him and enamored with him. And we were able to put our foot forward and step out toward him and walk on the water. You say, "Well, I've never experienced that." Well, then you need to seriously question if you've ever experienced salvation. Because I believe every child of God experiences these things. None of us as often as we ought to. But we have experienced these things. We, the saved, have had times of unquestioning and unhesitating obedience to Christ's invitation. Again, it's not as often as we would like. But you and I that are saved, we have had times in our life when we obeyed without question. without hesitation. And if you look back and give it thought, those were the happiest times in your life. What a wonderful opportunity. What wonderful times we have had since the event of salvation. We that are saved have had times when we, by faith, just like Peter, were willing to leave where we were and draw near to Christ. Know the joy that was Peter's as he's walking on the water toward Christ, getting closer to Christ. We've experienced that. It's still our opportunity to experience that. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we have had times when we were able to walk on our storm toward Him. What caused Peter to do that was he was overcome with a desire for Christ. And I believe everyone who is saved will have times in their life when they are absolutely overcome with a desire for Jesus Christ, with a desire to be closer to Him. So with that desire for Christ, Peter steps out of the boat in obedience to Christ's invitation unto the raging waves. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How could he do that? He was enabled by God. And we have experienced, I say we that are saved, we have experienced the enabling power of God to walk on our storm. We've experienced that. We have been able to walk where men do not ordinarily walk. Man doesn't walk on water, but Peter did. And there's a lot of things that man does not ordinarily do, but ever since the day of our salvation, we do. What a wonderful life. He had a supernatural experience. We had a supernatural experience in salvation, and we have supernatural experiences ever since that day. And oh, how we ought to thank God for such times. Sadly, many a child of God spend the majority of their time in the boat, unresponsive to the Christ who says, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Come." In the boat, watching Peter walk on water toward Christ, I wonder what all was going through their mind when they saw Peter walking on that water. I wonder if they sat back and judged. Well, he's walking on water, but if it was me, I'd do it a little bit different. Well, it's not you. You're in the boat. People like to sit back and watch and judge and give commentary on those who are moving in the direction of Christ. If it was me, well, once again, it's not, so. But we do have the opportunity to walk on water. And you and I that are saved, we have experienced it. This is the possibility that exists for you and I. To walk where men just do not walk. To do what men just do not do. The world doesn't gather and pray, but we can. The world doesn't take their problems to God, but we can. We can do what others just don't do. There are always, anytime there's people, there are storms going on. But whatever storms are going in your life, at this very moment, and no matter how keenly you may feel the storm, we feel some storms more than others, and whatever the winds and waves may be, you can walk on your storm. You have to listen to him. Be of good cheer, it is I. The reason to be of good cheer, it is I. The reason not to be afraid is, it is I. We can walk on our storm. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful experience to walk where he is. That's what Peter did. He walked where Jesus was, on the water. That brings us to another experience. The experience of sinking. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. As he did so, he stepped out of the boat believing that it was Jesus that was speaking. As he's walking on the water, he's believing that it was Jesus, that it is Jesus. He's concentrating, he's focusing upon Christ. He's moving in the direction of Christ. Why? To get closer to Christ. And he's doing this in spite of the winds and the waves. Again, verse 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's a positive. Then we come to verse 30. But, again, verse 29 ends with a positive. But, when the word but follows a positive, what follows the word but is a negative. But, when he saw the wind boisterous. His humanity has now gotten in the way of his faith. That ever happened to you? Happens to me all the time. Humanity gets in the way of faith. We can identify. When he saw the wind boisterous, there was a distraction. He has now been distracted from Christ. That ever happened to you? You're walking on the water toward Jesus, and suddenly there's a distraction. You and I have experienced this more than once. In fact, it is our tendency to focus upon the wind boisterous rather than the thou and the thee. Back in verse 29. But when he saw the wind boisterous, physical sight began to dominate. And now he's focused upon the angry sea. And this shift of focus makes way to fear and panic. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. Why was he afraid? It wasn't because of the wind. It wasn't because of the waves. It's because his eye is now on the wrong thing. And as a result, the peace that passeth understanding that he had in verse 29 when he was come down out of the ship and when he walked on the water now is overshadowed by afraid. Afraid. Sadly, it's a common experience for all of us. How many times we have moved from the peace that passeth understanding to afraid. Just like that. It happens in an instant. In our text, Peter has gone from the tranquility of, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. He's gone from that tranquility. He's gone from the tranquility of he walked on water to he was afraid. Peter has had a relapse. That ever happened to you? Happens to all of us. We've all had that experience. And that leads to the next experience and beginning to sink. He was afraid. And he began to sink. So now a walking on water time has become a sinking time. He's gone from one extreme to the other. And beginning to sink. He's on this amazing walk. May have been a very short walk, but it was an amazing one. And all of a sudden it's interrupted. You ever been there? Just having an amazing time with the Lord. Just having an amazing walk. And all of a sudden, in a matter of seconds, it's all interrupted. In a matter of seconds, instead of conquering the storm, he's conquered by the storm. Ever been there? Ever experienced that? You've got this storm in your life, and you're living above the storm. You're walking on the water. And then in an instant, the storm conquers you. It happens. It's happened to all of us. Been there, done that. Been there, done that more than once. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times. On an amazing walk with the Lord. And all of a sudden conquered. And we all blame it on a lot of things. But if we really take an honest look, we've gotten our eyes off the Lord. Peter's sinking. It wasn't the wind, it wasn't the waves that were the cause of his sinking. Because he'd walked on the water, the very same waves. It was not because the storm all of a sudden grew in intensity that caused Peter to sink. It was a shift in focus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he began to magnify the storm. The storm was huge. But he made it even bigger by getting his eyes on the storm, by this shift of focus The storm is not the cause of his sinking. The 11 back in the boat are not the cause of Peter sinking. I don't let people get away with, I'm not what I ought to be because of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, baloney. I'm not going to let people get away with that. Because it's not true. There's no truth to it at all. None. The 11 back in the boat had nothing to do with Peter sinking. Now, if Peter lived today, he might say, well, if they would have got out with me, I would have been encouraged and I wouldn't have sunk. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. It was due to the fact of unbelief overshadowed his faith. The Lord said to Peter in verse 31, he gave the reason, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Little faith was the reason. Peter was sinking. You ever been there? You ever had times in your life where you're sinking? He was becoming submerged. He was becoming engulfed. He was beginning to descend into the chaotic and destructive waters of the Sea of Galilee. He could feel himself going under. And there really wasn't anything he could do to stop it. He's sinking. He's not sinking because he stepped out of the boat in faith. That's not why he's sinking. He's sinking because there's been a shift from faith to unbelief. It took a tremendous amount of faith for Peter to step out of that boat onto that water. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of faith. And then to walk however far he walked. And the whole time he's going toward Jesus, his eyes are toward Christ, fixed upon Christ. Tremendous act of faith. But then he began to concentrate on the wind and the waves. He became afraid and began to sink. Have we not all experienced sinking? Becoming submerged and engulfed in the drowning waters of the world and the times in which we live. It's very easy to shift our focus and we begin to sink. And beginning to sink, have we not all experienced sinking, becoming submerged and engulfed in the drowning waters of the ways of the world? The thinking, the goals, the pursuits, the priorities of the world. And beginning to sink, have we not all experienced sinking, becoming submerged and engulfed in the drowning waters? There's many of them. Of anger. Sinking in anger, descending into anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and sorrow and frustration and defeat
and on we could go. Have we not all experienced sinking times in those waters? But when the Lord said to Peter, come, he was calling him to something greater than sinking. Much greater. And likewise, God has called you and I to something greater than sinking into the depths. He's called us to something far greater. Peter was sinking in the storm-tossed waters. And this was and is a very sad experience. But glory to God, it was not the final experience of Peter. And oh, how many times we've been sinking. We've been going under. But the story didn't end there. Which brings us to this experience of caught. As Peter was sinking, notice verse 30, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! There's now a shift back to the Lord. When you begin to sink, it's because there's been a shift. And if you're going to stop sinking, you've got to shift again. Lord, the first word out of Peter's mouth was not John, Thomas, Philip, help me. The first word out of his mouth was Lord. Lord. There's been a shift in his focus. God has something greater for us than sinking. Cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me. You said, I have, and he hasn't. Keep up. You've still got breath. Keep on. We do not have to sink to the bottom. There's something more. There's another level. And here's where it begins. Lord. Lord. Save me. Then notice what happens next. And immediately. It may not be immediately for you and I. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. That's not really the point. Jesus stretched forth his hand. And caught him. Peter was sinking into the depths. And Jesus reached forth his hand to where Peter was. He didn't reach forth his hand to where he wasn't. He reached forth his hand to where he was. The Lord's good at that. He didn't tell Peter, make your way back to me, Peter. Swim, Peter, swim. He stretched forth his hand. He reached where Peter was. How many times that has been so in our life? How many times we have been sinking. We have been drowning. And the Lord reached forth his hand to where we were. That's happened more than once in my life. Too many times to count. Peter was sinking. Sinking into the depths. And Jesus reached to where Peter was. I'm never out of his reach. I've been sinking many a time. Never once have I been out of his reach. Never once. Jesus stretched forth his hand and it says, and caught him. And caught him. The hand of Jesus reached Peter. How many times has the hand of Jesus reached us? We would have drowned. We would have gone under. But Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That means he grasped him. He laid hold upon Peter. Where would we be today? Had not Jesus time and time and time again stretched forth his hand and caught us? Notice in Psalm 124, we can identify Psalm 124. Verses 1 through 5. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick with the, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. If it had not been for the Lord... If it had not been for the Lord, I would have drowned many, 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 many times. Sunk to the bottom. But the Lord reached where I was and caught me. Notice verse 32. And when they, I love that. Peter and Christ together on the storm-tossed waters. When they were coming to the ship. So the outstretched and powerful hand of the Lord got a hold of Peter. And placed him back on the waves. And Peter and Christ began to walk toward the ship. I don't know if it happened this way. It's the way I picture it. Arm in arm. Arm in arm, walking back to that ship. So now, Peter is walking on the water again. But this time, not going toward Jesus, he's with Jesus. Again, verse 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now in verse 32, and when they, walking toward Jesus, resulted in walking with Jesus. You walk toward him, eventually you'll walk with him. Along the way of walking toward him, you may experience a sinking time. But his arm is long enough to reach you. And powerful enough to catch you. And when they were come, into the ship. So Jesus reached forth and saved Peter from going under. Where did he take him? Back to the boat. Now think about this. The boat. This morning we preached on the supernatural and the natural. But the boat is the commonplace. It's the everyday place. There's a wonderful truth that is manifested here. Verse 29, Peter was come down out of the ship. He left the commonplace. He left the natural. And he walked on the water. The supernatural. The Lord would spare him from his sinking time. And now they're going back in a supernatural way to the natural. But the natural now becomes supernatural. The natural, the commonplace, now becomes extra special. Notice verse 33. And they that were in the ship gathered around and patted Peter on the back. Oh, what a great job, Peter. And you did great. No, they didn't praise Peter at all. They worshiped him. And they were more convinced that thou art the Son of God. So the commonplace becomes a very special place. Walk on Jesus, walk with Jesus on the water, and the commonplace becomes extraordinary. What a life that God has for us. What a wonderful life. There are times, again, not as many as we would like, but there are times when we walk on water. And those times can become sinking times without water, without warning. And because Jesus can reach us in our sinking times, the sinking time can become water walking time again. And all of that changes the ordinary into the extraordinary. What a life. Again, we're in a fierce storm. But the Lord has called you and I to something greater than just struggling to survive in the boat. He's called you to something greater than that. He's called us to something greater than sinking in the storm. The next time you begin to sink, don't tell yourself, well, this is just the way it is. This is my lot in life. No, that's not what the Lord called you to do. He didn't call you to sink. He called you to walk on the water. Don't stay there. There's something more. He has called and enabled us to walk victoriously on the storm. Not to be conquered by the storm, but to walk victoriously on the storm. If you're sinking, or the next time you do, and if you live long enough, there will be a next time. Guaranteed. Why? Because our humanity gets in the way. cry out to him, Lord, save me. Don't look for somebody to blame. Lord, save me. Lord. Start with God. And know this. He can reach you and set you back on the water with Him. Know that concerning those you know are sinking. Let me tell you something. You get away from God, you're sinking. I don't care how much you deny it. Probably nothing worse than sinking and not even know it. But know this about those who are sinking. He can reach out. His arms long enough, His arms powerful enough to reach out, grab a hold, and set them back on the water. God can do that. He does that. He has done it over and over and over in our lives. How many times? Because God has caught us, He has saved our lives. He saved my soul one time. He has saved my life over and over and over. He saves us from those sinking times. What a wonderful Lord that comes to us in our storm. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to walk on our storm and not sink. But when we do sink, He is able to grab hold of us and put us back on the water. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.